In the 1700s, a young man called John Newton, he sailed the high seas, and his trade was a slave trader. He primarily got people from West Africa and sold them right across the world. One day, the grace of God put fear into Newton's heart through a fierce storm. Terrified of a shipwreck, Newton began to read The Imitation of Christ by Thomas Kempis. The book was used to lead him to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and had a dramatic change in how he lived his life. Newton not only saw the error of his ways, but also became a leading figure in the early years of the evangelical movement and a major player in the fight to end the slave trade. And the slave trade was finally abolished in Britain in 1807. That is just 210 years ago. My great, great, great grandfather would have been alive, and so too would yours. Grace took Newton on a lifetime journey in what we call the Grace Academy, which is our subject for the next number of weeks. And we want all of us to take a journey into the Grace Academy. And now he became a preacher of the gospel. He became a minister of the gospel at the age of 39. And as he took his own congregation, he began to write hymns to express his heart and his love for God. And Lorraine Nolan, accompanied by Gavin Lawler, is going to sing for us his most famous hymn.
Bye.
Great job. I was going to sing it myself, but I said, hey, let's share the glory with someone else. Yeah. So amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. How many of us today have lost that amazing about grace? How many of us are here and we say, it's a beautiful song, but I've actually lost the amazement of grace. Perhaps you're here and you've never yet known it because you haven't encountered Christ. Or you may be here and you've encountered Christ a year, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years ago, and somehow life has taken your amazement away. Has taken the amazement of the cross, the amazement of the resurrection, the amazement that God reached down to us. And we've lost that amazement. And we're a little bored and a little fed up and saw it all before, Jack. Amazing grace that God, who created us, would come to earth with flesh on. That he would go to the cross and become sin for me. That he would die and be raised on the third day because of grace. How amazing is it? How amazing. But we're not amazed sometimes. We're not amazed. We've lost some of that amazement. And I believe through this whole series, God wants us to come back to amazing grace. It is amazing that I am a child of God. It is amazing that I can come and worship him. It is amazing that he would even allow me to come into his presence. It is amazing that I stand as a child of God. I am cleansed. I am forgiven. My past is gone. I once was blind, but now I see. I see the glory of God. I see his mercy. I see his goodness. I see his kindness. I see. How amazing. Our main scripture, and indeed not just for today or this series, but perhaps for our lives, should be Ephesians 2:4. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Two verses that Paul, verse 5, it is by grace you have been saved. Verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved. And in 11 of his epistles, Paul starts out in Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians 1 and 2, Timothy 1 and 2, Titus and Philemon. He says, grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. The unmerited favor of God. God reaching down to us, even when we were his enemies, when we were at our worst, the grace of God and the peace of God be to you. Grace is the starting truth about the heart and attitude of God. It's about him. It's an expression of who he is. He is gracious. That affects absolutely every aspect of life on earth and in heaven. His grace is every day. It reaches back into our history. It is woven into our story from birth to the present. And it stretches out into the future. It is available every single day of our lives, in every circumstance, in every situation. every situation. Our experience of divine grace, or lack of it, will shape the very next moment how we live the rest of our lives. It will determine everything about our lives. God's grace is absolutely huge. Huge. Absolutely. Our understanding and acceptance of grace will affect our friendships, our attitudes to singleness and marriage, and how we treat our parents or our children. It will affect the 27 different nationalities that we have in this church called Open Arms. Grace will determine whether we can worship together in the unity of the Holy Spirit or not. It will determine how we work out our relationships within our own race and every other ethnicity. How we take care of the poor, how we reach out and love those who do not yet know Christ. It touches our Monday mornings as well as our Sunday mornings, shaping our approach to work, to fun, to worship, and to prayer. Grace will impact our mental, emotional, and physical health. Been reading a lot about grace and what people say about grace, and came across one Christian clinical psychologist who said this. In over 20 years of working as a clinical psychologist with Christians, I have discovered that grace is something not rooted in people's personal experience, and therefore I am passionate about what happens to people in the realm of grace, and I talk to my clients in every session. When I ask people how they think God sees them, they frequently say this: they see me as sinner, dust of the earth, a lowly worm, and condemned. It's as if they have a filter to remove words such as loved, saved by grace, a new creation, seeing instead a harsh God of demands and judgments and conditions to be met. Another counselor writes, "We read, we hear, we believe a good theology of grace, but that's not the way we live. The good news of the gospel of grace has not penetrated the level of our emotions." So somehow we have this cognitive approach, we can have this theological approach to the grace of God, but it has not gone that terrible, awful, longest distance from my head to my heart. And folks, this morning and over the next number of weeks, God is bringing us to this place where he wants to bring it from my head to my heart. He wants us to experience his grace. We say Open Arms is a Pentecostal church. What does that mean? It means that we believe somehow or other there's more than just cognitive. There's more than just theology. There is the experience of the Spirit of God. There is an experience to be had and lived out with God. It's that I know I am saved because God touched and changed my heart. I remember the day. I remember the time. When I put my hands in worship, I sense and feel the presence of God. And that's good. So is my foundation on the Word of God? Yes. Have I got good systematic theology? You bet I have. Do I have doctrine as my foundation and cornerstone? Yes, I do. And yes, we do as a church. And we experience. And we encounter the living God. It is not just something outside. It is not just a belief system. It is a living relationship with Jesus. We speak to him not as someone who's far off and a dead God. We speak to him because he's here and living and abiding in my heart. And I know that. And what happens as Christians, we forget that first encounter. We take our eyes off the living Christ and we place it upon ourselves. And we can't save ourselves. We're not the answer. I'm not the answer for you. You're not the answer for me. He is the answer for each of us, us all together. And then we gather in order to celebrate. We gather in order to gather those who do not know Christ to express the message of grace. Ephesians 2:4. But because of his great love for us. That's the foundation. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. He saved us when we were at our worst, not our best. We keep saying this, but we got to believe it. John Newton knew that he was a sinner, but he also knew that he was saved by grace. And just before his death, he penned these final words. He says, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun." John Newton, he got the gospel. He got it. He got it. That we are saved by grace. For so many Christians, we can accept Christ by grace, but then somehow we fall back and we begin to carry our own baggage again. There's a scene in the movie called The Mission. Robert De Niro plays Rodrigo Mendoza, a slave trader who killed his brother in a fit of jealous rage. Grief-stricken, he locks himself away in a monastery cell and refuses all offers of forgiveness and absolution. He's made up his mind about himself. He simply doesn't deserve forgiveness. Eventually, he agrees as an act of penance to accompany a team of Jesuit missionaries on a trip to the Amazon. Rodrigo, still consumed by guilt, insists on dragging a full suit of armor tied up in a rope bag and attached to his back. That heavy bag really symbolizes everything that's wrong with his life, all of his sin. And he just can't bring himself to accept God's grace and forgiveness to cut the cord. We're going to show you a short clip when one of the Jesuits cuts the bag off of him as he climbs the waterfall. See, he couldn't live without the weight. He couldn't live without carrying his own sin, as it were, upon himself. Perhaps he thought, well, I'm actually helping to pay for what I did to my brother. And again, we might look at this and we smile and we think, that's a really bit ridiculous, isn't it? But does it mirror some of our behavior? What are we caring about? What are we weighed down with? And one of the things you notice, we've got some buckets and pieces of paper here. And at the end of this, we're going to connect this with the word we had earlier, that there's a cloud covering our congregation. And it's a cloud that separates us somehow from the grace of God. And at one point I thought, well, we have to punch our way through, but what happens if I can't even lift my hand? And I believe God is saying that if we just say, Lord, help, he punches his way through. See, he does the work. He's the one who has the power to punch through everything. But he desires our willingness. And what we're going to do at the end of this service is I'm going to call you to come up and write down, what's the one thing that you carry today? What's the one thing that you are carrying with you? And you say, God, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to fold it. And I'm going to put it in the bucket. And I'm going to walk away free. And I will not get back and tie that to my back again. I will not do that. Why do we have so many Christians who are bruised and broken, for whom good news apparently hasn't been that good? The Christian message holds out the marvelous offer of a new life, and yet we, as children of God, live an experience that's opposite to the message that we believe. We lose any sense of wonder at the gospel of grace. God's grace should be both astounding and astonishing, confounding our logic, and to stop that obsession that says, somehow I must pay. We are obsessed with paying the price ourselves. We can be obsessed by saying, no, I will serve more, I will give more, I will do whatever more. But grace said, no, you receive a gift that you don't deserve. You just accept it. It is written, it is so, it is over, it is finished at the cross of Calvary. John 10:10. Jesus is writing these words and he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. We have an enemy and he's pretty good at what he does. He's had a lot of experience. He knows all of the schemes and all of the ways of humanity and he's out to destroy us. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Another version says that you would have it in abundance, that you would have it overflowing. He wants us to live life that he has bought and paid for. He really does. He wants us to do that. We must choose daily to either live according to the enemy of our souls or to live according to the one who is gracious, the one who gave his life, the one who came full of grace and truth. If grace doesn't humble us, transform us, and lead us to worship, somehow we haven't grasped grace. Somehow we haven't caught grace. Perhaps some people are afraid to lean too heavily upon grace because they've seen others who've taken advantage of it. But right now, we must take grace for ourselves. We must leave others to the grace of God. But we have to take responsibility and say, God, I want to understand and live and experience your grace right here, right now for me. And it's out of that that we can help others. Galatians 5:1. Again, Paul is encouraging and said, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again to a yoke of slavery. What did Rosie say that song? What does it mean? He stood up. We got to stand again. He went back down the hill. What did he do? He tied it on again. But the moment we come to know Christ, we're set free. The chains are cut. I've been set free. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. And what do? We go back down the hill and we carry the same stuff again and again. And Paul is saying, do not be yoked again. Do not be yoked again to that weight of slavery, to the yoke of slavery. Don't do it again. Be free. Walk in grace. Walk in grace. Know his grace. Ephesians 2:4 again. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace we have been saved. It is by grace that he will keep us. It is by grace that he will sustain us. It is by grace that we walk every single day of our lives. So as we bring this to its conclusion, I'm finishing early for a purpose. I'm going to ask you a question. What is the Spirit of God saying to you? Right here, right now. So just close your eyes with me, if you will, for a moment, please. If you're comfortable. Spirit of the Lord, I ask you right now, would you bring one thing to mind that we are carrying? Something that we either have carried all of our lives or something we've taken back up again. I ask you to bring that one thing to each of our minds right now. In Jesus' name. So what I want you to do, we're going to get you to come up here, and there's buckets and there's pens and there's all around. And write that one thing on this piece of paper. And when you write that, that's like you punching. It's like God punching through the cloud and allowing grace to come into your life. And as you write it down, fold the piece of paper, put it into the bucket, and say, God, I surrender this right now. And I walk away free. I'm not coming back. I'm walking away in freedom. I'm walking away in liberty because I want to know your grace. We are saved by grace. We are kept by grace. We're sustained by grace. We live by grace. We breathe by grace. And he has bought grace and given to us freely. So right now, one by one, come on, get out of your seats and just write that. Write that one thing down. Fold it up and put it into the bucket. So perhaps you're here this morning and I've done this the other way around. And you've never committed your life to Christ. But I pray right now that if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, but somehow through the music, the song Amazing Grace, one of the scriptures that I've read out, something that you sense, that's God. He's reaching out to you. That's what it is. He's reaching out to you. See, that's what grace is. Grace is not us reaching out to God. Grace is God reaching out to us. Grace is God not even reaching. See what I'm doing here? No, grace is God coming down. That's what grace is. He came down to be with us. He came down to show us that he is the way. He didn't show us a way. He didn't send us a list. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am your life. So something has touched something within your heart. It's Jesus. We may say it's God, but it's Jesus. It's God with flesh on. His name is Jesus. And he's here right now. And his arms are open to you. Just like sometimes, I don't know if you ever see, and I've experienced several times, because I've got one son, I've got two grandsons. But there's times with your kids, you open your arms and your kid comes running into your arms. That's the experience with Jesus. His arms are open. And the moment we accept Christ, that's us running into his arms. That's what it is. And he does all the rest. He does the hard stuff. What you do is, what I do, we say, God, I surrender. He does the stuff. He does the forgiving. He does the cleansing. He takes the sin. He pours out his love. He pours out his mercy. He pours out his cleansing. He does all the stuff. We just say, I surrender. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, yes, I want Jesus. I want his grace. I want the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of love. I want that gift. I want it. He's here. And all he's asking, will you surrender? And he will do the heavy lift. So this morning, right where you are, right now, what I'm going to do is give you the opportunity of responding. And what I want you to do, just imagine the cloud. I'm going to ask you in a couple of moments just to raise your hand and just very gently, just do that. And he will come running towards you. His grace will pour out upon you. He will take your sin. He will take your shame. He will take your guilt. He will cleanse you. He will wash you. He will love you. He'll embrace you. He'll give you eternal life. And he will leave this place with you. With you. And all you got to do is, in a sense, I surrender, Jesus. I surrender. So right where you're sitting right now, come on, right now where you're sitting, if that's you and you say, Jesus, I want you in my life, Ryan, just lift your hand with me. Just lift your hand with me. Come on, right around the place. Lift your hand with me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you at the back. Thank you. 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 Anyone else this morning, just lift your hand and say, Jesus, that's me. Okay, put your hand in the back down. Let's pray together. Jesus, I surrender. I give you my life. I accept your love. I accept eternal life with you. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your cleansing. Lord, I accept right now, I belong to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him the applause. Yeah. So if you want to stand with me as we bring this morning to conclusion. Paul says, and I'm going to, Paul and the ironic blessing of the numbers, let's make the two of them one. I pray the grace of God and the peace of God to be upon us. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile in you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. God bless you. Have a great week. We've got Grow Track. Remember, next Friday, Good Friday, come back. On Easter Sunday, come and bring your friends, your families, your neighbors, that they can encounter the grace of God. God bless you. Have a great week.